Thank you, Jesus. Well, I receive that word. I feel like, and I probably shared this when I was with you in the spring. I have a title of president, but you know what they say, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. And I feel like that's what God's calling me, is to be a servant of all and to bless our churches. But one of the things that God spoke to my heart is that Open Bible Churches that you are a part of, and making a difference around the world. In fact, I told them in first service last year, over 27,000 people said yes to Jesus through our churches. Your family, your sisters at churches. Now, come on now. All of heaven celebrates with one. And you are part of a global movement. And so when you talked about not just here, that's really a passion that God spoke to me. We 2 years ago, we were in 47 nations. Open Bible is now in 55 nations. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but there's a vision for 100 nations around the world. I leave here, fly back to Denver, wait for my wife to join me, and we leave Monday morning on a nonstop to Japan. Where they're celebrating 70 years of ministry in Open Bible Churches. And we get to minister to them, but my heart is how we can multiply into not just every state in the United States, but 100 nations around the world. And so that is a burden, and not a burden, it's a weight. It's a call. So thank you for that. Well, what a joy and an honor to be with you today. I can't tell you how excited I've been to be able to come back to this incredible church. I don't know how many were here when I spoke in the spring, just if you remember. All right. So my wife and I left filled. You filled our cups. Your hospitality and honor, your joy and enthusiasm, your passion for the things of God. But even beyond that, your pastors. We love the Hall Sapples. Pastor Sarah, Pastor Harris are just wonderful, wonderful people. And so when they called and asked if I would be willing to, it was supposed to be a surprise. I don't know if it was or not. Surprise Pastor Harris. Apparently he tries to operate in the gift of knowledge and he guesses who the speakers are going to be. I don't know I think I made the list of however many he had. But when they called and asked if I'd be willing to be a part of it, when I talked to my wife, we'll do whatever it takes to be there. And so adjusting our schedule because we love what God's doing here in Cedar Rapids. It is a special place. You are blessed and God is not done. Come on, somebody. The best is yet to come. And I love your theme this month on the honors reward. And for those that were at the banquet last night, you expressed honor to your pastors. And you look like you're having fun too. You almost look like you like each other. Come on now. So I told First Service I was hoping, you know, some of you'd wear your decades costume from last night today, but you didn't pull that one off. But what an incredible expression of a church to honor their pastors. You know, it says, I know you've been reading out of Romans chapter 12, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says that those that labor among you, preaching and teaching, you know what it actually says, that they're worthy of honor. Is that what it says? It actually says this, they're worthy of double honor. So there's an expectation that we live in a culture and a climate of honor, even when it's hard, that we honor people, because when we honor people in his creation, we are actually honoring God. But when we honor those that serve among us in preaching and teaching, there's actually the confirmation of what God is saying and what God is doing. And so you're not worshiping a person, come on somebody, but you're honoring the gift that God has planted in this house. And I say that because you're celebrating in your 10th year as lead pastors. And so from Julie and I, we love you. We honor you. We're just so thankful. And I know you are in the trenches. God's blessing. There's an outpouring of his spirit that is obvious. But I know that it comes with I said it in first service, with both sweat and spirit. That we work hard, we invest, we pour out, but we need the Spirit of God to breathe life on that. But you are pouring out your lives for his church and his people. And so we just love you, honor you. Would you give your pastors just a hand of appreciation, expression? What God is doing. Yes. Galatians 4:4 says this: at just the right time, he sent Jesus. And when he sent Jesus, not everyone around thought it was the right time. I promise you, Mary didn't think it was the right time, and Joseph didn't think it was the right time, but at just the right time. And I shared this in first service, and I just sense in my spirit so deeply that it's just the right time for Open Bible, First Open Bible Church. A sovereign moment, a sovereign time. Parable that the kingdom of God's like a treasure hidden in a field. That there's a treasure that's been hidden. Some know, some see here in Cedar Rapids, but that treasure is going to be discovered even in a greater capacity. That treasure of the kingdom of God, what God's doing here, is going to spread. Come on, somebody. That people will hear and they'll see, or they'll taste and they'll see. And the passage in, is it Luke 4 or Mark 4, where it talks about that the sower plants seeds. And he labors hard, he plants seeds, and it says that the seeds grow night and day, and the farmer doesn't even know. And this goes with my message today, because God is always at work, and there's seeds that you've planted. Dreams that you guys have dreamed, and you wondered how and could it be, but it is it's a Kairos season. And we're just so excited about what God is doing. And Lord, I just pray for wisdom. God, I pray for favor. Lord, I pray for a double portion of your anointing. God, that mantle will grow and increase. Lord, that impact that they've dreamed about, Lord, will expand beyond their wildest dream. And may this church embrace the things of God. May their hunger and thirst for you like never before. Lord, may they be a light in the darkness. Lord, may this church, Lord, arise. Lord, build and arise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just leaked what 2027's theme for Open Bible will be, but so don't tell anybody. All right, so arise and build. But I'm not gonna go there today. But anyways, my wife sends her love to you. We wish she could be here, but because of our trip coming tomorrow, it's just a lot to stack on that. But she misses because, you know, like I said, we left. Filled when we were here in the spring. And so she sends her love. But, you know, I tell everybody this. The first time I come and speak, I'm a guest. The next time I come, I'm just family. Come on, somebody. So it's good to be back with my family here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And so thank you for that. And last time I showed pictures of my family, told a little bit of stories on that. And, you know, I've got the one grandson, Emery Joel, who just celebrated his second year birthday a week ago, that we got to be a part of that in Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama. So that was a lot of fun. But here's the wonderful thing. I'm sure I told you some of these stories. So as family, come on, somebody, I just got to give you some updates, right? So found out a little over a month ago, my daughter Michaela, who has my only grandson, Emery Joel, is pregnant with number two. Come on, somebody. She is due the first week of April. And how many of you remember I have six children? People, how many kids do you have? Just six. All right. So I'm the guy with the quadruplets, if you remember that story. Anyway, so she's going to have number two. So I'm going to have two grandkids. But then we found out a week after that, so about 3 weeks ago, we found out that my youngest son, Landon, is they're going to have their first grandson. Or grandbaby, and they only live 5 minutes from me, so that's not as far as Birmingham, Alabama. So we're going to go from one, and then that one's going to have two, and now another one's going to have one. But then I found out a week after that, come on, somebody. My oldest is going to have their first, and so we're going to go from one to four in the month of April, the beginning, the middle, and the end of April. So resurrection month, come on now, is multiplication in the Nortune household. Now, there's miracles that go along with that, and we're very excited, but we're well on our way to 20. Come on, somebody. So anyway, Well, let's jump into God's Word together. If you have your Bible with you, I'd love for you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to start there. But today I want to just encourage, challenge, maybe stretch some of you a little bit about this idea. What I just shared just a moment ago about the seed that it grows and they don't know how, but it's because we know this, that God is always, everyone say always. God is always at work. In fact, Jesus said, my Father's always at work. And you know what he says? And so am I. Come on, that's the double dose right there. So God's always at work. How often?
Always.
Come on, somebody, think about that.
Always.
You woke up this morning and it was like, oh, I got to get ready. Come on now. He's always at work, and he knows you by name, and that he's stirring, and he's moving, and there's things that he's wanting to do in all of us. In fact, when we finish this morning, that there are four things that I just feel like that the Holy Spirit is or wants to do in your life. Amen? So you can get ready for that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this incredible, this wonderful church. Lord, this body of believers, Lord, that are passionate in pursuing you, God. I just pray that today, that you'll give us ears to hear, not what I would say, but that what the Spirit of the Lord would say to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Make us more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. My message today I've entitled, very simply, From Start to Finish. From Beginning to End. Well, we know that God, he says that he is the Alpha and the beginning and the end. And there's some passages or scriptures that we understand that because he's always at work, he's the starter, he's the builder, and he's the finisher. Now, how many of you, though, have ever started something and didn't finish? How many have home projects right now that you started and have not finished? Come on, somebody, I feel your pain. About a year and a half ago, we started trying to start a project in our house where we were putting in some cabinets and some shelving, some fake beams, all that stuff. And what we thought, come on now, would just, because my son's a contractor. And we thought, oh, this will just be a week or two. Come on now. A year and a half later, it's actually being finished this weekend while I'm here. Come on, thank you, Jesus. That's just God, because I'm not doing anything and it's going to get finished. But it, something started, but it took so long to get there. But there was a plan and a process in this journey. And the idea or the thought this morning of the from the start to the finish, from the beginning to the end, that there is, God's always at work. And I want you to know, wherever you are, it's a snapshot in time. You are in a moment in time, but this is a moment that's just a minute, but there's a moving, come on now, to the things of what God wants to do. So you might be in a season where you feel like, man, this is tough. This is difficult. This is heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. This is not what I signed up. This is not what I expected. Well, know this. God is always, come on somebody, at work. He is moving and stirring, and I believe that today that he wants to reveal that to some of you, that you'll walk out of these doors with a skip in your step. Come on now. Joy in your heart. Faith in your spirit. That God, you're not done. We're on this journey together. Amen. So this is, I want you to, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the apostle Paul, he's writing to this church in Corinth, and the church in Corinth had some issues. Come on now. If you're they have issues that meant like, I'm not going to just write you one letter. I'm going to have to write you two letters. Come on, somebody. I'm going to teach you and instruct you, but I'm going to have round two for you. So they were a special church in his heart. Come on now. That they had some challenges. Come on now. No church ever has challenges, right? The picture, or what we see, or what we understand from this this moment, is that this church in Corinth, he's trying to help them grow, trying to help them not stay where they're at, not stay in the tension, the friction, and the dysfunction of where they've been. He's helped them deal with things about just how to love each other. The greatest love chapter in all the Bible is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that, you know, what love is. And so he's trying to help them know what loving each other. But he deals with things like division and immoral behavior and the misuse of gifts. And he deals with them about their doctrinal issues on the resurrection and the misuse of communion. Come on now. You know, you've got things messed up when Jesus is like, hey, this is my table. Come on, people. Get this right. He deals with all these different things and he has to instruct them, and one letter wasn't enough. So after a few years, he pens another letter to just help them to be able to grow in their faith. But what I love is how he concludes that second letter. Here's a church that has gone through some tremendous stretching. They're seeing God do some incredible things, but they also have some issues that they're dealing with. And I know you don't know what that's like because your church is perfect, right? No one has any issues. Pastor Harrison, he walks on air, just floats. He's just, you're so perfect. But for them, there was this instruction. And he closes this incredible two books of really... it's like a father's heart to his kids of, there's something in you. There's something more that you can get this right, that we can see God do this. And so he ends this second book with these words. And I'm going to just read verse 11 and then verse 14. And then we're going to jump into the four things that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to be doing in your life. But it says these words. Are you ready?
Ready.
Come on. This side's ready. You ready?
Ready.
All right. Okay. All right. Here we go. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. I've said everything I'm going to say. Today, I'm going to have a last word. It might be a little while before I have my last word. Come on, somebody. But anyway, my last word. Here's how I want to finish this up. Now, listen to how he instructs this church that he loves and the people of God. He says these words, be joyful. Come on now. Be what?
Joyful.
Come on, not joyful. Joyful. And that's not a joy that is manufactured on the outside. That's a joy, come on somebody, that's brought in from the Spirit of God. That there's something that you can't create, you can't manufacture, but I can produce in your life. Be joyful. You walk into church and it's not like, oh, it's another Sunday. No. You walk into church and say, it's Sunday. Come on now. I couldn't wait. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Didn't say I was mad. Come on, somebody. Didn't say I was sad. It said I was glad. There's this joy. Come on. In the kingdom of God. So he's instructing them, be joyful. Then he says these words, grow in maturity. Like, grow up. Don't stay where you're at. Don't be stagnant. Don't be stuck in a rut. Don't be chained to your past, to your problems, to your pains. Come on now. I want you to grow. I want your roots to go deep because I want you to produce a life of fruitfulness. That he wants to leave them that have joy, grow, be complete, be full, be ready and prepared. And he says these, encourage each other. That's what you've been doing this last week. Or in honoring your pastors, you're encouraging them. But take a moment, just smile at the person next to you. Don't say a word, just smile. All right, some of you you're like, smile now. There's just something that you can encourage people that God wants to do something in you that makes a difference to the person that's next to you or that's at your work or in your neighborhood or in your family. That I want to do a work, but I want you to encourage. I want you to multiply. I want you to spread. I want you to influence and impact. Come on, those that are around you. And he's saying, church, you can do this. It's in you. Encourage each other. And he says, live in harmony and peace. That's the prayer of every pastor right there. The churches that are in harmony and peace. One mind, one spirit, one mission, one heart. I believe that that's something for us as Open Bible Churches. Pastor Harris said, I felt like God spoke to us was alignment of us coming together as a network and a movement and a family of churches. And we're seeing just incredible harmony and unity. Come on now, that's just been blessed by God. But he's saying for your church, I want your church to live in harmony and peace. And then he says these words, then. What's that mean? Then. It's the connector of the, and if you'll experience this, then. If you'll walk in joy, you'll grow in your faith, that you'll encourage other people, that if you'll live in harmony and peace, then. Everyone say then. Then what happens? What? Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Come on. Be with you. That'll be with you all. That if you want to experience this church in Corinth, if we'll live that and we'll pursue that, then we're going to experience God, come on now, like we never have before, like you've never known. Church, it's in you. And what God wants to produce through you is greater than where you are today. Amen? Let's move forward. Verse 14 says these words, 2 Corinthians 13:14. And then he concludes one of the most profound, prophetic, and powerful sentences in the Bible for his people. And he says these words, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I love how the scriptures say that. Another paraphrase says it this way. It says, may the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. Come on. How powerful that. Not just grace, but the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. You know, when they say in Acts, and we'll read this a little bit later, but where it talks about those that turned the world upside down have come here also. And it says that they're preaching a different message than that of following Caesar. They're talking about following a king. Come on, I know that's a buzzword right now, but the King of Kings, come on somebody, a kingdom of heaven. And they changed the world, but amazing grace, amazing, amazing grace. How sweet the sound, come on somebody, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Come on, amazing grace. I love that. And the apostle wants his church to not just experience those things and live that way so they can experience that. He's like, here's a key to our existence. This amazing grace. And grace is a powerful word. And this could be a three-point message. And I'm going to just briefly, but when you think of grace, some 125 times in scripture that you see it, 16 of the 21 epistles start with the phrase, grace be unto you. Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace in your time of trouble. Ephesians talks about the glory of grace. It's a powerful thought, but there's different expressions of what grace, that amazing grace of Jesus Christ, what it looks like. And we understand that there's this salvation, the grace of salvation that we get to experience his saving grace. Because it's not by works, right? It's not my effort. It's not my goodness. It's not what I can do. It's not like, hey, God, listen, I've got my life together. And listen, I'm going to show up for you. You know, if you give me, 55% and I'll show up. I've got 45%. No, it doesn't work that way. It's all Jesus. Come on now. 100%. This grace, this saving grace, you do nothing to earn it. You just get to receive the gift of his grace. There's not only that, there's the justifying grace, just as if you had never sinned. The grace that says, that covers, that our sins, come on, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sins, but by his grace, he sees his son. Come on now. There's not only this saving grace and justifying grace, there's the teaching grace. It teaches us in Titus chapter 2 that grace is teaching us how to live right, teaching us how to experience God. But then the last part of this is this idea of enabling
grace. And that's really what I want to hit today, the power. And you've probably heard it this way, that grace is unmerited favor or undeserved blessing. It's the ability to do what you couldn't do on your own. It's a free gift. And it's that grace that when the amazing grace of Jesus Christ that we live in. And the powerful thing about grace, and this is all I'm going to say today about this. I'll let Pastor Harris another time can expound. But in the previous chapter, the apostle says, man, I've got this struggle in my life. I have this pain in my life. I'm carrying this weight in my life. And he says, I prayed three times. Oh God, would you deliver me? God, would you heal me? God, would you say, whatever it was, we don't know. People will speculate, but we don't honestly know. But what happened? There was a grace for the apostle. It says, when you're weak, I am strong. I give you great, an enabling grace to face life head on. Whatever life throws at you, it may not be taken away. That's what the apostle went through, but he was given strength and given an amazing grace. Amen? So the picture of not just amazing grace, but extravagant love. May the amazing grace of Christ Jesus and the love, or the extravagant love, the love that knows no end, the love that knows no bounds, that's immeasurable, come on somebody, and unstoppable. A love that would say, I'm going to give you the best. I love you. I know you by name. I know where you live. Come on. And I'm for you and I'm with you. And I'm going to send my only begotten son, because it's that kind of extravagant love that nothing else would do. And it would take any cost to reach you and to reach me so that we could be in this relationship with him. An amazing grace, extravagant love, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. A fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that's today what I want to spend the last few moments capturing, that thought, because it is a powerful point that he's saying, I want you to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. A daily communion, a personal experience and encounter, not with a thing or it, come on somebody, but the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, you get this grace, incredible. You get to experience this love, but you know what? Every day, I want you to live in harmony, come on somebody, with the Spirit of God who lives in you. That word fellowship is an incredibly powerful word. In fact, it's the same word. If you were to read Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, it'll tell what the early church, how they lived and how they acted and what they did. And it would say that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and preaching. It said that they would gather together both in the temple courts and in homes. It said that they would give extravagantly. If there was anyone in need, they all gave. There was this connection. But in the middle of this, there's this hinge in that passage that says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and it says, and to fellowship. That word is the same word that Paul writes at the end. It says, I want you to have this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Think about that. The church, this natural relationship, this intimate, sacrificial love, commitment, desire. He's like, that's what koinonia, that's what fellowship is. That you are for each other, you're with each other, that you pray for one another, that you carry one another's burdens, that you provide for one another, you worship together, you celebrate together, you experience God together. And he takes that same word that he wants, that closeness, that intimate, that relationship with us, and he says, I want you to have, come on somebody, that kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit. What? That means tomorrow morning I wake up and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you're up. Good morning. The day is ready. God has prepared it just for, and I am with you. That there's not a sense of, okay, I got to check in and I got to go find him. It's this opportunity that we get to have fellowship. I'm going to just say fellowship. The key for you to move forward in the kingdom of God. And what he instructs the Corinthian church is to experience the grace, the love, and don't forget the fellowship of his Spirit. That tomorrow, today, that you get to walk with that kind of intimate, personal relationship with the triune God, with the Spirit of God that lives in you. Come on, that's just good news, church. It's not something goofy or spooky. It's something real and alive. The intimate friendship, and that word that we won't do it on. Paul knew that the Corinthians, their staying power would come from not from being alone, but being in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And he makes that promise to them. You can have that kind of relationship with him through his Spirit. And I just want today to give you just four things in the last few moments that I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. And it's such a powerful thing, because in John chapter 14, and we won't read all this, it talks about John 16, that Jesus himself tells his followers, it's better that I leave. I'm here, I'm hanging out with you, you're with me, but it's better that I leave, because when I leave, I'm going to send you the helper, the advocate. I'm going to have the partner that you're going to have fellowship. So I know you like me, you love, you see the miracles, but it's going to be better for you to have the Holy Spirit come on somebody in you than have Jesus next to you. So John chapter 14, though, gives us a little insight of that. And it says this in verse 12. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater. What? Greater. Because this, I'm going to be with the Father. So what did he say? I'm going to go to the Father so that I can do what? I can give you the helper. So it's better for me, and you're going to do greater things because you're going to have somebody on the inside of you that will live through you. Come on now. That you surrender to, you submit to, you honor. Come on. You honor the Holy Spirit that works in you. And it goes on in verse 15 of chapter 14 of the book of John. It says this, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give the gift of the Spirit of God. I will give you another, or one that would do what I would do if I was here. I'll give you another advocate, an intercessor, a comforter, a helper, a counselor, the one that will appear on your behalf in court, the advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads. Come on now. He doesn't tag along. Come on, somebody. He wants to lead your life into all truth. Lead you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. What a true story. You look at our cultures, and they're not looking for the God moment. They're not looking for how God could do something, how God could restore something. They're not looking for him, and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now, and later, come on now, Acts 2, he'll be what? In you. Everyone say in you. Okay, so he's not just with us, but he's in us. All right, so what is it that he wants to do? And I'm just going to take, if you're taking notes, four quick things that I believe the Spirit of God wants to do today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Come on, somebody. You want me to keep going? And Friday and Saturday and December 1st and December 2nd and December 3rd. And December, all right, okay. My favorite verse is Ephesians 3:20. It says, to him who's able to do immeasurably or exceedingly abundantly more than all we can think or imagine. Oh, come on, I can dream big dreams. 100 nations, come on now. There's more than 100 nations, so maybe I need to think bigger, right? All right, so all you can think and imagine. And then he says, according to the power of what? The Spirit of God that lives in you. How does he get it done? He gets it done through the koinonia, the fellowship of the Spirit of God working through you. So for you to accomplish what he has for you, or you to experience the life he wants for you, come on now, it takes you having this fellowship, somebody help me this morning, of the Holy Spirit with you. So let me, real quick, what does he do? What do we see in Scripture that he accomplishes in people's lives, or when does he show up? The first thing I want you to see this is starting power. Everyone say starting. He wants to help you. Some of you need a new season. Come on, somebody, in your life. That you've been carrying some weights or some burdens. or you've been hungry for something new. The Holy Spirit has the starting power to start something fresh in your life, to start something new in your family, to start something new in your marriage. Come on, somebody. That he wants to start something that you can't do on your own, but through the fellowship, come on somebody, of the Holy Spirit, that he can set the captives free, that he can heal the brokenhearted. The way maker. And it's just not some pipe dream. It's the reality of the power of God that lives. The starting power. The Holy Spirit initiates God's work in our life, igniting faith, come on somebody, and vision. And he gives us the courage to begin. And I can prove this to you in Scripture. It says this in Genesis chapter 1. In the
beginning.
Would you call that the start? In the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was what? Hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit of God in the beginning, the Spirit of God, God the Father speaks. And we know Jesus there. John tells us that in John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God. But we also see the working, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit that wants to start something new. And I'm telling you, in your life, there are people in here today that you're ready for a new day. Come on now. A new start. And you have in you the power of God to see that happen today. You can see it at the baptism of Jesus. What happens when he goes down to the river and he goes under? What happens? He comes up. And that's the what? Beginning of what? Of his public ministry. Who's working at the beginning? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit descends like a dove. Then the voice of heaven, God says, this is my son who I'm well pleased. One translation, that brings me great joy. I love that. The heavenly father to his son, I'm well pleased. But the Holy Spirit's there at the what? At the beginning, at the start. You can see it in the passage I quoted a little bit ago, in the beginning of the church. In Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. It's at the beginning of Acts chapter 2 where it says that they were all together in one accord. And what happened? The light started flickering. Come on, somebody. The wind started blowing. And they're like, 10 days of waiting. And all of a sudden, in that moment, God begins to move at the beginning. And if I were to stop my message, which I probably should. Are you all right? Okay. There's a God word for some of you that today you're going to stand up and you're going to walk out of those doors and it's going to be a new day. He's going to start freedom in your life. He's going to bring joy to your life. The heartache and the pains and the weight, you're going to leave here and you're going to walk out. Come on, somebody. A new day. Starting power. Number two. Starting power. Number two, staying power. I would say staying. So starting power, then staying power. Jude tells us this, to him who is able to keep you from falling. Come on now. To the one that can keep you going. The one that can give you strength in your bones and courage in your spirit. The one that can keep you from what? From falling. The staying power of the Holy Spirit. Beyond that, you see not just that, but in Philippians 1 verse 6, which is really the title of this message. He who began. He who did what? Began. Who started something is going to continue it on to its completion. And that's what this church is going to see. In year 83, I figured it out between services. 1942, God breathed on the heart of people to start a church that would reach a community. He did what? He began. And for 83 years. Come on, somebody. Look at this room. That he's been doing this work. So it's not just a starting 83 years ago. He started and he continued. There's the staying power in your life. There are things that make your knees wobble. Come on, somebody. How many of you have ever felt like you just got sucker punched by the devil? Come on, I can't be the only one. That knocks the wind out of you, that steps you back, that like, oh! But there's a staying power in the Holy Ghost. It says, I will not bow, I will not bend. Come on, somebody. I can't solve it. I don't have the answers, but there's something inside of me that says, don't quit. Don't give up. The greater is he that's in you, come on now, than he that's in the world. Starting power, staying power. Everyone say starting. Staying. Number three, second chance power. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Things that look dead and hopeless, second chances. Choices that you looked at and you think, you know what? I did this and this is my fault. I'm walking through this and it's broken and I messed up my life. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That he can resurrect, somebody help me, dead things, hopeless things, things beyond repair. That he's working on that. And you can see throughout scripture, whether it was Adam and Eve or Abraham or David or Rahab or Peter or Saul or the prodigal son, all of them, come on, had to have the power of the second chance. Come on. Not just starting power, not just staying power, but they needed a second chance. And there's some people here that you've made mistakes or you've blown, you thought, I'm too far or God can't forgive me, or you know somebody that's in that. But I'm telling you, there's a starting power and a staying or a power that sustains you, but there's also something that says, you know what? It's second chance time. You see that in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You missed it the first time, but you guess what? You got a second chance. And the worship team can come. The last thing. And I would love, could we end with that song, Worthy of It All? We were singing it during worship. The last thing. Number four, here's the deal. I believe that God's working, starting new things in your life, or he's wanting to. For others of you, he's not starting something. He's giving you the strength to sustain you through it. Others of you, he's giving you today a second chance. Say, you know what? I forgive you. I love you. I'm with you. You can do it. And the last thing is this. Starting power, staying power, second chance power is supernatural power. His plan for the church is not to be weak and anemic, come on, but his bride has power inside of them. Power to lay their hands, come on somebody, on the sick. Power to pray for the bound to be set free. Power of God that's working in you. Jesus said, I got to go because I'm going to send him. And it's going to be for all of you. Supernatural power. The Holy Spirit equips us with abilities and boldness and power beyond our natural capacity, empowering us for effective living and ministry. The apostle said this way, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And my prayer, First Open Bible, is that you will experience the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. That there'll be a courage in you to believe God, to have faith. You're about to step into a new season that's going to take faith. You're about to embark on a journey that's going to stretch you, that's going to cause you to feel like, man, this is going to hurt a little bit. This is going to be sacrificed a little bit, but the kingdom of God is advancing. Come on now. So basically, the kingdom of God is advancing and forceful people take hold of it. And as you step into it, you need supernatural power, church. Not just to expand a facility, but to reach a community. And not just to reach a community, but to transform a state, a nation, a world. the power of God that lives in you. You see, what started in a small upper room in Jerusalem, and that didn't just survive, but it flourished and remained. It wasn't because of their planning and their thoughts. It was this power, this demonstration. And even though the attacks came, they were able to overcome. And for centuries, they've tried to cancel the church. Come on, but look at us. And we're not done. Would you stand with me? And let's just close. Supernatural power. If you just close your eyes, bow your heads for just a moment. If you're here today and you say these words very simply, you know what? I know my life's not right with God. I've not surrendered to Him. I'm living my own way, and I've either drifted away or I'm not in the place of surrender to Him. You know what? Today is your day to take the first step of starting power and saying yes to Him. If that's you, very simply today, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, it says that we can experience the saving grace of Jesus. He's calling you by name. He's tugging on your heart. He wants you to experience this daily communion and relationship with Him. And very simply, by just saying, yes, God, I surrender. God, forgive me. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. Come into my life. I surrender to you. And if that's you today, that prayer, that simple start is a step of faith. If you say, you know, I know my life's not right with Him, I just want you to look at me. Just wave your hand real quick. Just wave my hand. I just want to pray for you. That today He wants you to experience life. God, every person under the sound of my voice, God, I pray that you will continue to draw and to work in them. Maybe you're here today and you just think, man, I need a fresh start. I need something new. Or maybe you're facing struggles and you're saying the same thing. God, I need the staying power. I need your strength to face this. Whether it's the strength of God or the staying power or the starting, would you just raise both hands towards heaven this morning? God, I pray for a supernatural power of God. Lord, no matter what life throws, Lord, no matter what comes, that Lord, that they're going to allow you by your presence, God, to fill them. Lord, to walk in faith and not fear. Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight, not by what they hear, but God, the faith to believe you for the impossible. I pray that you'll restore families. God, you'll heal brokenness. God, that you'll heal sick bodies. Come on, somebody. By the power of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. And I don't know where you're at today, but I believe this. He wants to start something in you. He wants to give you the courage to stand against everything that comes against you. God's working. He's already moving. He's already behind the scenes in ways you can't see and you don't know. There's a supernatural power in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask, I know we're going to sing a song, but is Rick, there he comes. I'm going to turn that over to you. But today, if maybe there's something that you're praying for, you're believing God for, I'm just going to remain up here. And if we could just blend faith and believe God for miracles for you, for breakthroughs, for hope, for healing, these altars will be open at the end of our service. Don't walk out the same way you came. Let somebody contend in the Spirit with you. And so we'll be up here to pray afterwards. Thank you so much.
Good morning again. How are you? Unbelievable, right? Today is probably one of my favorite times of the year. It's an opportunity for us to show Pastor Harris, Sarah, Hudson, and Lindley how much they really, really mean to us. I know we do throughout the year as well. But today is their day. We've been doing pastor appreciation here at First Open Bible Cedar Rapids for the last 50 plus years. And we take pride in the way that we do that. And I don't know about you, but God didn't just send us pastors. He sent us a gift. They are truly remarkable. If you're new here, you will soon find that out. They give 100% to this church and the people of this church. They're human, just like you and me. They have issues, just like you and me. You would never know that by looking at them. They can be in pain, they can be whatever, and they still love on you. They still have the biggest smile. You never, ever know what's going on in their life. But normally we have a theme. Over the years, they wanted to take a train ride, so y'all gave them a train ride. Different things like that. This year, we really don't have a theme per se, but we do know that they have things they want to get done. They have a son that's a teenager and outgrown his bed, outgrown his room. So he wants to move downstairs, so they need to remodel a room downstairs. If you know Pastor Harris, he has lots and lots of shoes. So he needs more room for his shoes. So if we move Hudson and downstairs, then that opens up more closet space for them and stuff like that as well. So we can buy more shoes, right? There's several ways you can give. Sherry and my wife Sue is at the back, and looks like Carolyn as well. You can drop an offering of some sort for them in that box. 100% of it goes to them. You can drop a card out at the information desk for them. You can go online and do it. And when you hit the drop down, just look for pastor appreciation. If you want to write a check today, you can do that. Just write in the remarks, pastor appreciation. And I believe, do we still take cash? We do. Okay, some places don't. So you can put cash in there too. But as I was thinking about today, they constantly give us their best, even when they're not at their best. So if I could ask you to pray about it, should have been already, but say another prayer and make sure, Father, is this what you want me to do? But let's show them how much we really do appreciate them. Thank you. It's an honor serving with you. It's an honor being with our pastors. It's an honor having a great weekend.